in our world cannot be built when military expenses divert enormous resources from projects for development, especially the development of the poorest people. That message was at the heart of Pope Benedict's address to the Holy See's diplomatic corps on Thursday, just as it was the focus of his letter for the World Day of Peace, issued at the start of the new year on January the 1st.
C'est vers les pauvres, les trop nombreux pauvres de notre planète que je voudrais tourner mon attention aujourd'hui à la suite du message pour la Journée mondiale de la paix que j'ai consacré cette année au thème « Combattre la pauvreté, construire la paix ».
Speaking in French to the diplomats, Pope Benedict noted the insightful analysis of his predecessor Paul VI in his encyclical Populorum Progressio, written over 40 years ago, and he stressed that to build peace we need to give new hope to the poor.
Pour construire la paix, il convient de redonner espoir aux pauvres. Comment ne pas penser à tant de personnes et de familles éprouvées par les difficultés et les incertitudes que l'actuelle crise financière et économique a provoquée à l'échelle mondiale.
Speaking of the current financial crisis, which is provoking difficulties and uncertainty across the globe, the Pope said to rebuild the economy demands rebuilding confidence, and that can only be done by implementing an ethics based on the dignity of the human person. Though this is demanding, he stressed it is not a utopia, and we must invest first and foremost in the younger generation, which risks inheriting a severely compromised economic system and social fabric.
Oui, mesdames et messieurs, si nous voulons combattre la pauvreté, nous devons investir avant tout dans la jeunesse.
As well as the urgent problems of economic poverty, Pope Benedict also spoke of the moral poverty, which leads to violence and discrimination. And he spoke especially of the victims of such violence against Christians in Iraq and India. He urged civil and political authorities to end intolerance and harassment against Christians, stressing that religion is not an obstacle, but rather a solid foundation for the building of a more just and free society.
Je voudrais répéter en cette assemblée qui idéalement représente toutes les nations du monde, le christianisme est une religion de liberté et de paix. Il est au service du vrai bien.
Looking in detail at some of the most pressing political problems on the different continents, Pope Benedict turned his attention to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict in the Middle East and the violence which has erupted in Gaza in recent days.
Une fois de plus, je voudrais redire que l'option militaire n'est pas une solution et que la violence, d'où qu'elle provienne et quelque forme qu'elle prenne, doit être condamné fermement.
Once again, the Pope stressed that military options are no solution, and violence, wherever it comes from and whatever form it takes, must be firmly condemned. He called for a re-establishment of the ceasefire and a resumption of peace negotiations to promote reconciliation in the war-torn region.
Et que soient relancées les négociations de paix et en renonçant à la haine, aux provocations.
Looking to the other continents of Latin America, Asia and Africa, Pope Benedict also spoke of countries where progress towards peace has been made, Mindanao in the southern Philippines, for example, or the peace agreement in Burundi. He spoke of his forthcoming visit to Africa, saying particular concern must be shown to the children of that continent, who remain so very vulnerable in countries like Somalia, Darfur, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. In Zimbabwe, likewise, he said, the situation remains critical and considerable humanitarian assistance is needed.
Of course, these are challenging issues facing the world, and Nigeria as a country shares the same ideas and also values.
His Excellency Obed Wadzani is Nigeria's ambassador to the Holy See and was present at the meeting with Pope Benedict on Thursday morning. Reflecting on the Pope's comments regarding the problems of the African continent, he told my colleague Festus Tarawali of the English Africa section what his government is doing to promote peace, development and democracy in the region.
Looking at the program of the president of Nigeria now, which focuses on the 7-point agenda and which identifies the issue of national security as one, ensuring that there is security of lives and property in the country. If African leaders all across the continent imbibes the issue of ensuring that there is peace, internal peace in every country, that will go a long way to alleviating the challenges facing the African continent. Now, secondly, there's the issue of food security, which the president of Nigeria has identified as one of the factors and also one of his programs. And in this wise, the government is working hard to ensure that small-scale farming is encouraged, agricultural products is boosted. Well, you find that by the time that these programs are implemented, most of the hunger and the poverty, which is prevalent in most of the African countries, will gradually ease out. You also find out that most of these conflicts are aggravated due to some of them lack of employment of the young people, and also it touches of good governance and entrenchment of democracy. And that, of course, the president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria have been doing to ensure that democracy is sustained, the rule of law is promoted, and also human dignity is respected.
And of course, the Pope also spoke about the need to have religious tolerance. You know, he spoke about the persecution of Christians, and we've seen, you know, some tensions in Nigeria, in some parts of Nigeria, between Christians and Muslims. What do you think will be the long-term solution to such conflicts?
Well, it's of course unfortunate that despite the efforts of the federal government of Nigeria, we had recently what I will refer to as not just a religious tension, but impatience to take to the rule of law by those that are involved, because once there is obedience to the law, of course, you will not have these tensions. But people take laws into their hands without following the due process of law. If not, most of these tensions, of course, that happens, will not come by. But that apart, the country has set up what is called the Interreligious Council, which is co-chaired by His Grace, the Archbishop, and the chairman of CAN in Nigeria, which is the Christian Association of Nigeria, and also His Eminence, the Sultan of Sokoto, which mainly concerns with the encouraging interreligious dialogue to ensure peaceful coexistence in the country, and also to ensure that Nigerians are their neighbors' keepers without necessarily resulting into violent conflicts.
Looking at the positive developments over the past year, Pope Benedict in his address noted that in Asia there have been significant improvements of the previously tense relationship between the Taipei government in Taiwan, with whom the Holy See maintains diplomatic relations, and mainland China. At the end of the audience, my colleague Charles Collins spoke with Ambassador Larry Wang from Taipei about this new relationship between his government and the Chinese authorities in Beijing.
His Holiness mentioned in his message the new direction being taken in relations between Beijing and Taiwan. It is, of course, it is true. Since May last year, we have a new government. President Ma Ying-jeou was elected. And for the last more than 6 months, we have adopted a lot of pragmatic measures to improve relations with mainland China. For example, we reached a full agreement last month, including direct links, air flights links, direct maritime links, direct mail and postal service, and also we have a mechanism for the food safety imported from mainland China. And so relations in the economic area have been drastically improved between two sides of the Taiwan Strait. So we are glad to see His Holiness also noted this area.
This annual address to diplomats accredited to the Holy See is considered one of the most significant papal speeches addressing the many areas of the world in which the Church is actively engaged in promoting peace, development and respect for human rights and dignity. Immediately following the audience, Canada's Ambassador Anne Leahy gave Charles Collins her impressions about the importance and the impact of the Pope's words.
Well, it's a masterful overview of all the major issues that are relevant to diplomats, political leaders, but also citizens wherever they may be. As you said, he reviews events in all parts of the world, and not only in terms of geographic location, but also in terms of the effects of globalization, the economic crisis, values, dignity of the human person. It's all tied together. And I think the Pope is uniquely positioned to do that, given that he is both at the same time a spiritual leader and also a head of state.
One of the issues that the Holy Father was talking about was the ongoing conflict in Gaza. Not only is it a military conflict, but it's also turning into a humanitarian situation. Can you tell us some of the things the Canadian government has been doing to help the people in Gaza right now?
Well, like the Pope, the government of Canada wishes for an immediate, durable, and sustainable ceasefire. Just yesterday, the Minister for International Cooperation and our Minister for Foreign Affairs announced that Canada is contributing some funds to help alleviate the humanitarian situation in Gaza. Some contribution to the UN appeal to meet urgent needs, such as food, shelter, and medical materials, and also contribution to the International Committee of the Red Cross. We hope that as the situation develops, that the humanitarian needs, but also access to the beneficiaries by humanitarian organizations will improve.
What do you think the role of the international community is in this situation? What can, besides giving aid and calling for help, what kind of work can the international community do to help resolve some of these situations in the Middle East?
Well, other than the material help, I think that the situation is one that calls for the involvement of all the partners, of the parties in the region, Israel's partners, as well as the Arab countries who have to come together to find a political solution. The immediate crisis is due to rocket attacks against Israel, and these have to stop. But Canada, along with the EU and others, are calling for all parties to sit down and resume talks.
During this meeting, what is it that you would tell your government after hearing this speech? What is the main points that you think the people in Canada would like to bring from this?
Well, I'll have to think a little more about it because we just heard the speech and it is very rich in all sorts of messages. Some of the themes that the Pope raised today are, in fact, a continuum on his message throughout the fall and the year-end and Christmas speeches he has been making. And regarding the economic crisis that really touches all of us and hurts in particular the more vulnerable, he talks about the ethics of the international financial system and the need for ethics in terms of political governance also. And if you look at how some world leaders have been talking about the crisis in their meetings, whether it's in a G20 context or whether it's at conferences called specially to discuss the crisis, you'll find that there's a bit of a meeting of minds here. So the Pope represents really about 17% of the world population. So he has a position of moral leadership, and when he expresses his views, they are of importance, and world leaders, I think, do pay attention. And it's interesting to me in this case to see that the certain convergence that exists between the efforts right now ongoing and to find a right way out of this crisis, but in particular to lay the foundation for a system that will avoid this type of crisis.
Charles Collins talking there to Canada's ambassador to the Holy See, Anne Leahy. And earlier you heard the ambassador from Taipei, Larry Wang, and the ambassador from Nigeria, Obed Wadzani.